Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Just Go With It by Madison Wright, narrated by Eleanor McCormick and Kyle Burrow. Prologue. Lo, 8 years ago. No, I say, shaking my head emphatically, sending my curtain of copper hair swishing around my shoulders. Please, please, please. Camilla, my roommate and lifelong best friend, begs. Absolutely not. I turn around and start walking to the parking lot. Camilla grabs my arm and hauls me back. Theatrically, she presses her long fingers to the floor-to-ceiling window of the coffee shop. He's beautiful, Lo. I know immediately who Camilla's referring to. She came back to our dorm room earlier this week raving about the tall, dark, and handsome junior she met in the student union, Rodrigo. He's all she's talked about for 2 days. But it's not Rodrigo who catches my attention. It's the guy with him. He stands a few inches taller than Rodrigo, with broad shoulders and skin that looks kissed by the sun. His blonde hair curls around his head, falling over his forehead like it can't be tamed by gel. His eyes crinkle as he laughs at something Rod says. He is magnetic, and I feel drawn to him like a moth to flame. Yeah, he is. My voice comes out a breathy whisper. So you'll come inside? Camilla squeals, breaking me out of my trance. No. Camilla, ever the dramatic, bends her knees. She pushes her dark braids over her shoulders and clasps her hands together in front of her. Lo, my best friend for all eternity, please, please allow me to go in there and go on a date with this man. I cross my arms over my chest and lean against the window, relishing in the cool of the glass against my skin in the summer heat. Just go in alone. He brought a friend. She points through the window at Rodrigo's companion, and my focus drifts once more, catching the way the light reflects on the golden bits of his hair, making it look like sunshine on silk. Please, Lo, Camilla begs once more, now starting to sound desperate. I pin her with a stare. Did you tell him to bring a friend? She stands and bites her lip, avoiding my gaze. I can tell from the hunch of her shoulders and the faint pink creeping into her dark cheeks that I hit the nail on the head. My jaw falls open. Camilla Jones! I thought it would be fun. When I met them in the student union, I thought you would be perfect together. You planned this the whole time? I ask, my voice rising in disbelief. I knew you'd never say yes if I asked. Camilla at least has the decency to look sheepish. I glance at the two guys again and let out a breath. My stomach does a little flip-flop at the sight of the blonde one's smile, the way it hitches up on one side before stretching across to the other. Do they think this is a double date? No, she assures me. I told them this was not a double date, just four friends hanging out. We're not friends with them, I remind her, and press my lips into a flat line. Camilla grabs my arm, tugging me toward the door, and I don't resist. How about we fix that? The bell above the door chimes as we walk in, drawing the attention of the guys. Rodrigo's friend's eyes connect with mine, and I look away, rapidly, heart racing. Why, oh why, did I let Camilla talk me into this? Camilla pulls us to a stop in front of them and drops my arm. Rodrigo gives her a warm hug, and I can tell from Camilla's shining eyes that she's on top of the world. Guys, this is Lo Summers, Camilla says, gesturing to me. Rodrigo hugs me too, although much quicker than he did with Camilla. I'm Rod. So good to meet you. Camilla talked about you a lot the other day. I flash Camilla a look, and she winks. Finally, I look up, up, up at Rod's friend. His eyes, a striking pale green I couldn't see from outside, meet mine, sending a rush through me. Normally, I could think of a thousand ways to describe those eyes. The way the light refracts in them, the unusual color, the barely contained energy. But my mind has gone utterly blank, a sheet of canvas wrapped in plastic. He extends his hand.
"I'm Weston King,"
he says, his lips tilting on one side before revealing straight white teeth. His low and husky voice chafes across my nerves as surely as the calluses on his fingers scrape against my skin.
"Nice to meet you." I clear my throat. "You both. Nice to meet you both."
I cringe inwardly at my inability to function.
"Ready for coffee?"
Rod asks. Camilla grins up at him, leaning into his side like she can't help but be sucked into his orbit.
"I'd love some."
They step into line, leaving Weston and me alone behind them. A thick, awkward tension pulses between us, leaving my skin clammy.
"Pride and Prejudice?"
Weston asks. I blink at him, confused, and he points at the book sticking out of the top of my purse.
Oh,
I stumble, shoving the book further into my bag. "It's one of my favorite books." Wes arches his brows.
"You've read it more than once?"
"Oh, dozens of times," I reply. "I can help the next person,"
the barista says, cutting off my words. She gives Weston a flirty grin, leaning over the counter.
"What can I get for you?"
Weston doesn't seem to notice, though, his gaze still fixed on me.
"Do you know what you want?"
"Actually, no. You go ahead."
I quickly scan the menu. Weston's eyes sparkle mischievously at me as he leans a hip against the counter.
"Let me order for you."
"Why?" I ask slowly, not bothering to hide my skepticism. I force myself to meet his gaze. He's so vibrant, he's almost hard to look at.
"Do you trust me?"
he asks. I can't help but laugh.
"No, I just met you."
He bends toward me, and I catch a whiff of something musky and woodsy.
"Come on, just go with it."
I hesitate for a moment, scanning his face. Those pale green eyes are locked on mine, startling in their intensity, and a curly lock of golden hair has slipped over his forehead, making him look almost boyish. The warmth of his bronze skin radiates off him, and suddenly I'm overwhelmed. I might have watched Camilla get sucked into Rodrigo's orbit a few minutes before, but this is like a wave crashing over me, pulling me under. Stepping back, I answer,
"No, it's fine. I know what I want."
Weston's smile dims ever so slightly, and I think I see disappointment flash across his expression. He gestures me forward. I order my go-to, a vanilla latte. When I try to pay, Weston waves me off. I move aside, staring up at him as he places an order with a complicated series of steps and ingredients. If I had ordered that, the barista would have fixed me with a withering glare. But for Weston, all she does is beam at him and nod, and I think unbutton the top button of her white shirt. We make our way over to where Rodrigo and Camilla are standing. Camilla's grin is wide, her gaze expectant as we reach them.
"Did you order the Weston special?"
I glance at Weston, who looks smug, before turning back to Camilla.
"The Weston special?"
"I'm not sure what all is in it," she says with a shrug. "Rodrigo said Weston came up with it."
The barista calls our names, and we head over to the counter to pick up our drinks. Weston holds his out to me, and I notice 10 digits written across the cup, the barista's phone number. If Weston notices, he doesn't acknowledge it.
"Here, try it,"
he tells me.
"I'm good."
His mouth quirks up at one corner, and I try to ignore the way my heart stutters at the sight.
"You know you want to."
I hold Weston's gaze for a moment longer before I take the drink from him. The warmth seeps through my fingers and into my body, already flushed with awareness.
Wary of his steady attention, I lift the cup to my lips and take a small sip. It's hot, almost too hot, but it's hands down the best cup of coffee I've ever had. Weston grins down at me with that crooked smile, knowing he got me.
Good, huh?
I nod, handing him the drink back, and watch as he tastes it. Weston lets out a contented sigh.
Next time, he says with a wink, just go with it.
Chapter 1. Lo, 8 years later.
Do not make me regret this, I whisper yell around the dressing room curtain. Peeking my head out, I stare down Camilla, who is lounging on the couch on the showroom floor.
Bringing me to your bridesmaid dress fitting? For my own wedding, Camilla says.
Exactly, I tell her. You know what you did last time.
That sales associate agreed with me that you have amazing tatas.
She responds calmly and crosses her legs. I wrinkle my nose. Of course she agreed. She was trying to make a sale, which is why she told me I looked fabulous in a dress that my boobs were literally falling out of. I grumble. Who even uses the word fabulous anyway?
Are you going to come out or not?
Are you going to behave yourself? I cinch the curtain tighter, not allowing her a peek at the dress. Camilla replies,
absolutely not.
I want to be annoyed with her, but I can't hold back a smile. When I step out, Camilla presses a hand to her chest with dramatic flair.
Lo, she whispers, and from the lines of silver rimming her dark eyes, I can tell she's about to cry.
Camilla has no filter when it comes to her emotions. I make my way to the platform and meet her gaze in the mirror. It may be my dress fitting, but she looks radiant with her deep brown hair swept back and a faint, pleased flush coloring her cheeks. Do you like it?
It's perfect,
she breathes.
Thank you for not putting me in red.
Camilla lets out a wet laugh, swiping under her eyes, and her signature fierceness returns.
I would never. You are my maid of honor and my only bridesmaid. Besides me, you deserve to be the hottest person at my wedding.
I turn around and grin at her over my shoulder, my waist-length hair swishing behind me.
I can't believe you're getting married in 9 days.
I know,
Camilla squeals, smiling back at me, eyes sparkling. I look at myself in the mirror and appreciate the way the pale blue fabric hugs my body. The spaghetti straps have been tightened, so the draped sweetheart neckline only shows a church-appropriate amount of cleavage. The satin tugs gracefully across my hips and lands with a whisper across the tops of my toes. I was worried this style of dress wouldn't look good on my tall, curvy frame, but I'm pleasantly surprised.
Let me make sure you don't have any underwear lines, Camilla says from where she's perched on the couch behind me. Bend over.
I follow her instructions, shaking my head at the scene we must be creating. I'm standing atop a platform in a fairly revealing dress, bending over in a twerk position. My mother would be so proud.
Now look over your shoulder, Camilla tells me.
What? I ask, turning my head to look at her. I hear the snap of a photo being taken on her phone, and I'm off the platform before she has a chance to stop cackling. Camilla shoves the phone down her bra as I try to grab it.
Give me that phone,
I yell, causing the sales associate to give us a questioning look. I give the woman a placating smile and try reaching down Camilla's shirt for the phone.
Nothing to see here, ma'am.
Camilla's laugh is hysterical as she flails her arms and legs to keep me back, giving everyone in the bridal shop a clear view of her lacy undies under her skirt.
Oh my gosh, who wears lingerie under their clothes on a Thursday?
I smack her on the shoulder and take another swipe for the phone.
Some of us stopped wearing boy shorts in middle school, though.
How dare you? I say in mock outrage. I'll have you know my haze are sexy as... I'm interrupted by a tap on the shoulder, halting my blows to Camilla's legs. I swivel to face the sales associate, who wears a sour expression, eyebrows furrowed and thin lips pressed into a flat line.
Maybe you should change back into your clothes and check out, she suggests pointedly, eyes narrowed into thin slits.
I give her a gracious smile before shooting Camilla one last glare.
Delete that photo.
She kisses my cheek.
Gotta go.
Great. Camilla Jones 1, Low Summers 0.
Do not leave without deleting that picture.
I slide the curtain closed and change as quickly as possible. When I come back out, Camilla has already left, needing to get back to work before her lunch break ends. I pay the ridiculous price for the dress and head to my car, texting Camilla as I go.
Me. Did you delete it?
Camilla.
New phone, who dis?
I shut myself into my sweltering car. Nashville in late July is not for the faint of heart, or people who need prescription-strength deodorant. Luckily, I am neither of those. With the AC blasting, I pull up the GPS app on my phone. Another text dings at the top of my screen. It's from my sister, Alexa.
Alexa. Good luck at your appointment today.
I type a quick response before digging in my purse for my travel bag of medicine. After swallowing a pain reliever to dull the throbbing in my head and the aching in my muscles that started during the fitting, I drum my fingers on the steering wheel. Here we go. An hour later, I'm shifting on an uncomfortable exam table, my dangling feet tingling miserably. It's negative 43 degrees in this office, yet Dr. Paulus looks cool as a cucumber. She perches on her teeny tiny rolling stool and crosses one leg over the other.
How are you feeling?
That's a loaded question to ask someone with a chronic pain disorder, and I bite my tongue to keep from sarcastically telling her so. For some reason, doctors never seem to appreciate my humor. I nod, even though she didn't ask a yes or no question.
I'm feeling okay. The medicine is still working and really helps to control the pain. I'm living somewhat normally when I'm not having a flare-up.
Good, she responds calmly. How's the fatigue and insomnia? I make a so-so gesture with my hand.
Manageable, I guess. Who needs sleep anyway?
Well, sleep is actually vital to your health, Dr. Paulus says and stares at me. I blink at a loss for words.
Yes, of course, I say finally.
And how is the brain fog?
What disease do I have again?
I ask cheekily and flash her a smile. She doesn't miss a beat.
Fibromyalgia.
She places her folded hands atop her clipboard and cocks her head, looking concerned for my mental health. I splutter. See what I mean about the doctors and humor thing?
Sorry, that was a bad joke about brain fog, I responded, shoving my shaking hands under my thighs.
Right, the brain fog is one of the more annoying symptoms of the disease, but it's fine.
And you said the medicine is still working well?
Dr. Paulus consults her clipboard.
How's the dosage? Do we need to adjust it again?
No, I think everything is working as it should. It's been a real process of trial and error trying to find a good treatment plan since my symptoms started during my junior year of college. That just so happens to be the reason I don't have a diploma hanging on the wall in my high-rise office, or an office in general. It took 3 years for me to get a fibromyalgia diagnosis, and during that time, I had no relief. I dropped out of college, moved back in with my parents for a while, and worked when I could stand it. Now things are more stable, if not what I had always envisioned for myself. I found a job working as a nanny and moved into a small house with Camilla. Last year, I finally felt good enough to start pursuing my real dream, what I went for college for before I dropped out. I wrote and self-published my first novel, a romance. I've grown a decent following of readers who are impatiently requesting another book. Things are good. Or they have been. Pretty soon my life will be one epically disastrous train wreck.
Great, Dr. Paulus remarks. So, tell me why you're here.
I clear my scratchy throat, hesitating, but finally decide to just rip off the bandage.
Okay, I say, wincing at how squeaky my voice sounds. I'll be losing my insurance coverage next month. In a fantastic, horrific series of events, I turn 26 and will be kicked off my parents' insurance just months after Camilla gets married and moves out of our duplex. And I can't afford the high premiums associated with having a chronic illness. Or I can, but then I can't pay rent. And if I ever want to quit nannying and write full-time, then I need to have my finances under control. I study Dr. Paulus's face, looking for judgment or encouragement. She gives no indication that she even understood what I said. I'm sure she cries at home watching This Is Us like any sane human being, but here her face betrays no emotion. I need to know what visits will cost without insurance. I cringe to myself, not sure I want to know the answer to the next question. And my prescriptions. Office visits happen infrequently now that I have my fibromyalgia somewhat under control, but prescriptions are a monthly expense I don't think I'm prepared to pay for. Not to mention the other things I do to keep my disease under control. Vitamins and supplements, massages, even cryotherapy and acupuncture on occasion. All of those things I've been able to pay for out of pocket since my essentials are covered under my insurance. Now life is looking bleak. Dr. Paulus leans forward, looking pensive. Before I research this for you, I want to start off by telling you that there are options for affordable health care. I want to encourage you to look into them before you attempt to pay for this all on your own. Without health insurance, this will be an incredible financial burden. Well, that sounds hopeful. After staring at a computer over Dr. Paulus's shoulder for the next half hour while she totals my monthly medical bills, my head is swimming. I barely make it through giving the woman at reception my beautiful, amazing, wonderful health insurance card and paying my copay before hurling myself out of the building. I dial Camilla as I stumble across the parking lot to my car. It's so hot that heat ripples are waving above the asphalt, making me even more disoriented. I hear Camilla's voice through my phone as I lift it to my ear. Without explaining what's going on, I yell, "What the heck am I going to do?" It speaks to the closeness of our friendship that she knows exactly what's wrong. Camilla knew about the appointment today, and although she doesn't know all the details of the terrible news my doctor just gave me, she knows it must be bad. "Take a deep breath," Camilla tells me. I try to do as I'm told, but it feels like a pregnant elephant is sitting on my chest. That elephant had its baby, that baby grew up, and now they're both hanging out on top of me. They've gotten comfortable, they bought homes, they will die on my chest, and I will never breathe again. "There's not an elephant on your chest," Camilla states. Did I say that out loud? I think to myself. "Yes," Camilla answers the question I must have asked aloud again. I'm losing my mind. "Oh my gosh," I heave. "It will be okay." Camilla's voice is calm, and while it should soothe my nerves, it bristles harshly against them like wool on a rash. "Camilla, you're moving out in a few days. Our lease is up next month, and I can't sign again. I can't afford rent because my medicine is in the triple digits each month." "We'll figure it out." I'm in my car, on the verge of hyperventilating, and my best friend is not helping at all. The AC hasn't cooled down the car yet, and all of a sudden, I can't handle the stifling heat inside my black SUV anymore. I tug open the door, none too gently, and heave myself out. I'm sure I look like I've had a little too much to drink as I stumble around the doctor's office parking lot, gasping for air like I'm walking on the moon without my spacesuit. The phone isn't even up to my ear anymore. It's clasped in my hand as I slide down the side of my car and onto the pavement. The asphalt burns the underside of my thighs, but I don't care. I barely feel it over the crushing weight on my chest. Camilla is yelling through the phone for me to answer her, and I realize I must be breathing loudly. Picking up my phone from where I dropped it next to me on the ground, I stare at it like it's 1990 and I've never seen one of these newfangled contraptions before. Camilla's voice sounds warbled when I press the phone to my ear.
I don't know if she's in a tunnel, which seems unlikely in downtown Nashville, or if my ears aren't working properly. Maybe it's because I went to too many free concerts in college. I stood too close to the speakers in the pit, and now my ears are permanently damaged. It's weird that this is just manifesting 6 years later, but who am I to argue with science? I never even took anatomy. The textbook made me blush, so I took earth science instead. I learned a lot about rocks and... Louise Olivia Summers! Camilla screams, and this time she is perfectly clear. So clear, in fact, that if my eardrum wasn't damaged by all of those concerts, it definitely is now.
What?
Why haven't you been answering me? She sounds frantic, and I don't understand why. She wasn't talking for that long without me responding. I check the timer under Camilla's name and see that we've been on the phone for 13 minutes. Maybe I didn't answer for a while. How long have I been sitting on the ground? I look up toward the entrance to the doctor's office and see a group of nurses peering at me through the blinds. Crap. Pushing myself to a standing position, I grimace at the tight feeling in my lower back and get into my now ice-cold car.
Are you okay?
I hear Camilla ask.
Yes,
I say, slumping against the steering wheel.
I don't know.
My head is swimming, and my heart hammers in my chest. The air is too cold, and the leather seats are too warm. Everything is too much. I let out a shaky breath.
No. No, I'm not.
Chapter 2. Weston. Do it for the gram. I'm really getting tired of that saying, especially since I rarely post my videos on Instagram, but I guess do it for the tube or do it for the talk doesn't really have the same ring to it. Truthfully, I'm getting pretty tired of doing these kinds of videos in general. I mean, I'm on the wrong side of my 20s, approaching my 30s at a breakneck speed, and yet I'm still pranking strangers on camera. It's gone too far, but I don't know how to stop it. Which explains what I'm about to do. Taking a deep breath, I get down on one knee and propose to the stranger next to me in the tamale line on Santa Monica Pier. Will you marry me? The girl's blonde hair glints in the sunshine, and her eyes crinkle in confusion as she stares down at me.
What?
She asks, clutching her phone to her chest and looking to her friend for help. The wooden planks of the pier dig uncomfortably into my knee below my board shorts, and the summer sun beats down heavily on my shoulders. Will you marry me? I repeat louder, and I feel the stares of people all around us as they start to notice. She laughs then, as if finally realizing this is a joke, but I'm not done. I stand up and force myself not to look back at my best friend and cameraman Camden, filming this whole interaction from his hiding spot around the corner. How dare you? I shout, willing myself not to back down at her conflicted face. I loved you. I waited for you for 3 years while you dated your cousin and slept with my dad. And now you're still saying no? I wanted to build a life with you. The woman is speechless, mouth hanging open. I give her one last pained look before I turn around into the sea of onlookers. Ignoring them, I run straight toward the railing, not thinking twice as I catapult off the side and into the turquoise water below. I hit the waves hard, and water surrounds me in a warm and vigorous embrace before shoving me back toward the surface. One of my flip-flops slides off, and I know it's gone forever, so I kick the other one off too before breaking through the waves. Knowing there are dozens of people watching, I flip my head back, and salty droplets kiss my slick skin. I grin up at the camera before looking around to find the girl I'd talked to. I find her gripping the railing, staring down in unabashed horror and shock. Waves jostle me, making it hard to focus on her face, but I give her one more piercing look and shout,
I'll always love you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?